We shall now turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5, and we shall consider this morning verses 25 to 29. John chapter 5 and verses 25 to 29. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, in this passage, we find that Jesus is talking about two calls. In verse 25 and in verse 28. First call in verse 25, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And then in verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, reading it superficially, you would think that it was referring to exactly the same call. But there are differences. Really, there are two very different calls. In the first, we're told that the dead hear the call and live. And in the second, all that are in the graves hear the voice and live. The first call is a call addressed to the dead. The second call is a call addressed to all who are in the graves. The first call, we're told, is coming and now is. So it's a call that's already taking place. Verse 25. The hour is coming and now is. So already when Jesus was speaking, the call had come. And it would come in the future too. But the second call refers just to the future. The first call is addressed to some, and the second call is addressed to all. So what we have here then with these two calls, the first is a spiritual call. It's the effectual call. It's the call to rise from being dead in trespasses and sins. It's the gospel call that is addressed to men and women today. The second call is the call that comes at the end of the world. The call that is addressed to those who are lying dead in their graves, physically dead, and calls them, some to a resurrection of life, and others to a resurrection of damnation. First call, some hear and some respond to. The second call, all must hear and all must respond. Notice the words, verily, verily. This is something vital, something so important, something you've got to listen to. Something that's addressed specially to us. We noticed that last week when we were preaching on verse 24. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So there, you have that challenge. We must hear the voice of Christ. And he that heareth and believeth on him that sent me shall have everlasting life. It's so important to listen. Listen for the voice of Christ. And hearing it, respond to it. And having said that in verse 24, then Jesus in verse 25 picks up the same thought again, re-emphasizing it, impressing it upon us. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. So, I would like us to look at the two calls in turn. First, the life-changing call of verse 25. The hour is coming, and now is. The gospel age brings this call. In a sense, it was there in the past. But we have to remember that in the past, the whole world almost lay in the wicked one, in the power of Satan. The whole non-Israelite, Gentile world was in pagan darkness. And apart from the odd Gentile, like Ruth or Naaman the Syrian, everyone else perished. Salvation was confined to the Jews. God's covenant people. And those brought up in the families of the Jews. And even amongst them, it was only a minority of the Jews that were true Israelites, true believers, true followers of the Lord. But Jesus is looking forward to better days. He's looking forward to the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 people were converted. Looking forward to the conversion of the Samaritans. The conversion of Cornelius, the gospel coming to Antioch, to Ephesus, to Corinth, to Rome. The gospel coming to Britain, to Africa, to China. The hour is coming and now is. Already Christ is issuing forth his gospel call and calling sinners to repentance. But he sees blessed days ahead when millions will come to believe in him. The dead shall hear. So important to remember what our condition is by nature. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead to God and dead to spiritual realities. We think of Ephesians 2 verse 1. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. By nature, we're dead. We shouldn't be surprised that people are apathetic to the gospel. That people sometimes appear so uninterested, careless, thoughtless, couldn't care less. That they walk by, they will not stop to listen, they won't read, they won't take in what we say. We exhort them, we encourage them, and yet they do not seem to bother. We speak perhaps to members of our own families, our loved ones, and it amazes us sometimes how lifeless they are and careless they are and how they cannot take it to heart that they're so near to death and eternity and hell, and yet it all seems just like a dream to them. Dead in trespasses and sins. dead to God, careless, opposed, accepting anything but the truth. How is it that people can accept the Jehovah Witness teaching, which is such bondage? It's so tiresome. It's a salvation by works. They'll have you out day after day round the doors, hammering on the doors in order to earn your own salvation. And yet, people won't believe the gospel. Just believe in Jesus and you're saved. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to go on a Ramadan fast where you're not allowed to eat from morning to night. Nothing like that is required in the Christian faith. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. But people will believe anything. They'll believe in Islam. They'll believe in Buddhism. They'll believe in Hinduism. They'll tie suicide belts around them and blow themselves to pieces. They'll do anything rather than simply believe in Jesus, God's Son, the Savior. Why? Because they are dead in trespasses and sins. And the dead will believe anything rather than the truth. They certainly won't believe the truth. It shouldn't surprise us when people around us are spiritually blind. They can't see danger. They can't see the folly of their lives. They can't see Jesus Christ and they can't see the judgment day and eternity. Shouldn't surprise us that they're deaf, that their ears are heavy, that they cannot hear the gospel message. Shouldn't surprise us that people around us have a heart like a lump of stone. A heart that will not respond to God's love. We love Him because He first loved us. But the world rejects the love of God. Doesn't want it because it's got a heart like stone. Sometimes we think, how could a person come to church all their life and yet not believe in Jesus? How could they come to church all their lives and end up perishing? How? Because they're dead. Are you dead? Are you dead to what's really important? Dead to God, to spiritual things, to faith and repentance, to the Holy Spirit, to everlasting life. Under the general call of the gospel for years, but nothing happens. But then, the dead, we're told here, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And it's a wonderful thing when people hear, and they listen, and their ears are opened, and their eyes are opened, and their hearts are opened for the first time. Maybe after years of having heard the message, they hear for the first time. They really hear. The truth penetrates and life enters into the soul. People become aware of God and His holiness and His justice and their own sinfulness and guilt and need. And Christ and His death on the cross and the salvation that He purchased for us. And the simple gospel of faith and repentance. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The effectual call of the gospel coming with power into their hearts, the dead hear and live. Think of Saul of Tarsus breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians there. And he hears a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And something happened. Saul was changed. He was born again. He was stopped in his tracks. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The amazing work of God. The amazing change that he brings about. Think of the jailer in Philippi receiving Paul and Silas, and thrusting them into the inner prison and putting their feet fast in the stocks. No doubt hearing Paul and Silas singing praises to God and praying, and yet not really hearing. And then the earthquake. And then he hears. And he cries out, what must I do to be saved? The change. The crowds on the day of Pentecost. No doubt they had heard Jesus, the great preacher, preaching. But it hadn't made any impression upon them. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit accompanied the word, and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Believe, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 repented and were baptized. A life-changing call. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Some here have heard the voice of the Son of God and they live. But what about you? Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? And do you spiritually live? Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The Father hath life in himself. The Father's life is not from some greater being. He's not dependent on others. You and I, our life comes from God. And it comes every minute from God. And we're sustained by God. And if God didn't sustain our life, then we would die. We would fall out of existence. God upholds us every moment. But God himself is dependent on no one. He is self-existent, self-determining. He is Jehovah, I am that I am. Almighty God, the Father of life in himself, he has eternal life. He is eternal. And he has given to the Son to have life in himself also. The Father gives life to the Son. He cannot choose to give life to the Son. He gives life to the Son. That is an essential part of his being. He begets the Son, and the Son is begotten of him eternally. And the Father and the Son are equal. And the Father and the Son are eternal. And the Father and the Son have life in themselves, and so has the Holy Spirit, who proceeds eternally from the Father and from the Son. The three persons in one God. Three persons, same in substance, equal in power and glory. For as the Father hath life in himself, so he gives to the Son to have life in himself. And the Father and the Son are equal. And hath given him, verse 27, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He's given him the power, the authority, the position to execute judgment. The The world will be judged not by the Father, but by the Son. And we notice here, he hath given authority to execute judgment to the Son because he is the Son of Man. And actually the word the definite article, isn't in the Greek, because he is a Son of Man. And that was so important, wasn't it? We are going to be judged by the man, Christ Jesus. In our judicial system, if you are accused of committing murder or some serious crime, you're judged by your peers, by a jury, by those amongst whom you live, a group of these people. Not by some exotic lawyer or whatever, somebody very, very different, but by your own peers, the jury. And when it comes to the end of the world, we're going to be judged by a man. The man Christ Jesus. And you won't be able to turn round and to say, you don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know what it is to be hungry, to be thirsty, to be tired, to be in stress and in pain and in worry. You don't know what it is to have anxiety. You don't know what it is to have pain. You didn't know what it was to be tempted. Of course he did. The one who will judge us was tempted in all points like as we are. He knew what it was to grow up in poverty. He knew hunger and he knew thirst and he knew pain. And he knew what it was to be scourged and to be beaten, to be tortured, to be mocked and ridiculed and hung up on a cross to die. So the one who will judge us is the man, the Son of Man. God the Father has given to him this authority. And not only is he a man like you and me, but he's also the man who sacrificed himself voluntarily, willingly and freely to save us. He died on the cross and he offers us his atonement so that we would be saved. And the one who judges us is the one who self-sacrifices the unconverted despise. So if we despise his death on the cross, how shall we escape who neglect so great salvation? We will be judged by the one who suffered so much to give to us eternal life. And if we will not receive the gift of eternal life from him, then rightly he will condemn us to a lost eternity. So there you have the first call, that life-changing call. That converting call, that regenerating call, that spiritually resurrecting call. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. Yes, it's already here. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Praise God for everyone who's heard the voice of the Son of God and lives. Make sure that you hear the voice of the Son of God. Cry to him for salvation. Pray to him that his voice would enter into your soul and transform you. Look to him as your Savior. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. How great the Son of God is! And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is a Son of Man. That brings us then to the second call, a call which cannot be ignored. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. This is talking, of course, about the end of the world and the judgment day. Jesus said in verse 24 that the Father had given to the Son authority to execute judgment, and that leads naturally on for him to talk about the judgment day. The hour is coming. It's a future hour. The hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Amazing to think that those who've been dead for centuries, for thousands of years, those whose ears have rotted away, whose bodies have decomposed, even their very bones have turned to dust, and yet they shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Amazing to think of those whose bodies have been burnt to ashes and scattered shall hear his voice. Amazing to think that those who have been eaten by animals, by fish or crabs, and other animals have eaten these animals, and other fish have eaten these fish, and yet, whatever has happened, they shall hear the voice, that powerful voice, the mighty voice that created the world, created all things out of nothing in the space of 6 days. God said, let there be, and there was. And the one who created all things out of nothing will bring together the bodies, whatever treatment has been meted out to them, their bodies will all appear before him. The first call heard by some, changing their lives. But this call, none can escape. There will be no hiding place from it. Doesn't matter what people do to their body. Though you make your nest in the stars, said Obadiah, God will call you down from there. Even although your body were to go to the farther star of heaven, will make no difference. You will be called to render your account. Many people, they think that they can escape pain and suffering, and that they are in control of their own lives, and they go and they commit suicide, or however they like to call it, mercy killing or whatever. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you do. You might think you're escaping a pain in this life, and you can escape the pain of this life by killing yourself. But what good is that if it just hastens the time when you go to hell? What good is it to end your life if you leave the pains of this world for the far greater pains of another world? Everyone shall hear, and everyone shall come forth out of their graves. You see, man was made for eternity. Man is made in the image of God. We're not like the animals. Yes, you can put an animal down, and that's the end of its sufferings, because the animal has no soul. Put a man down, and the soul lives on, and has to go to meet its maker. And at the judgment day, the body will arise from the grave to join with that soul. What a dramatic day that will be. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the sounding of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. The dead shall rise. Do you ever think about it, the end of the world? It's coming closer. All the time coming closer. What if Christ were to come today? And the sound of the trumpet were to be heard, exceeding long and exceeding loud. No mere human trumpet, but the trumpet blown by the archangel, and the noise reaching through the whole world to the farthest corners of the earth, yes, and the farthest corners of the universe, reaching into the depths of the oceans, reaching into the graves, and opening the graves. And then that great shout of Christ. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Every man and woman in the world will hear that voice. They'll hear it in their own language. They'll hear it in a way that they can understand. A shout. What a shout. When Christ comes down upon this earth and calls to the dead, wherever they are, whoever they are, righteous and wicked, and there'll be no say no that day. But everyone will rise to appear before the Lord. How will it be with you on that day? When the great shout comes, are you ready? That leads then, thirdly, to the eternal divide that we have in verse 29. They that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. First, those that have done good, they shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and in their graves they shall hear, and they shall arise, and they shall rise with a resurrection of life, and life in its fullness. They that have done good shall arise. But who does good? Surely there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Ah, yes, but God's people, they are in Christ. And Christ did good. And we are in Christ. And when he did good because we did it in union with him. And so our goodness is the goodness of Christ. Our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. By faith we're united to him, and from him we receive his goodness. They that have done good, Christ did good. We did good through Christ. But also, They that hear the voice of the Son of God, the first call, they are born again, they are changed, they are given a new nature, and they are given the Holy Spirit in their hearts, enabling them to do good. Not perfectly, but they do good. And the goodness they do is sprinkled with the blood of Christ to wash all imperfections from it. They are purified. Their works are purified and accepted through Christ. At the end of the day, every one of us is going to be judged according to our works, whether they be good or evil. Do you have good works? Well, if your works are purified by Christ, they are good. But if not, they won't be good enough by a long shot. All our righteousness in and of ourselves is filthy rags. But the righteousness of Christ is a beautiful white robe. We will stand before the judgment seat, either clothed in this beautiful white robe or covered in smelly rags. To be judged according to our works. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is vital. So are you a holy person? Are you striving to be holy? Are you concerned to be holy? Have you been changed from a sinner into a saint, a holy one? If you have, there's a blessed future before you. A future of eternal life. They shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. Life. Life with a capital L, life in its riches, life in its fullness, life in its joy, life in its satisfaction, life in its delightfulness, pleasures forever at God's right hand, eternal life. Those that have taken part or had their part in the first resurrection and heard that first call and responded to it, they have life. And when the second call comes, they shall rise unto the resurrection of life, to eternal life in the heaven and paradise of God. But then secondly, they that have done evil. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. All of us by nature are evil. Sin is natural, sin is easy. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our lives are lives of sin. But some are washed. You are washed. You are sanctified. You are cleansed. Once you were drunkards. Once you were immoral. Once you were hypocrites and Pharisees. Once you were thieves and liars. But now you are washed. You are cleansed. You are sanctified by the Spirit of God through the blood of Christ. But those who haven't been washed, they that have done evil, they shall arise. They shall arise with all their sins. They shall arise with all their debts. You've been hearing so much about the Greek debt recently. Seems to be such an enormous debt in comparison to the wealth or the riches of a country. But what is the Greek debt in comparison to the debt of a sinner to God, an unconverted sinner? All your life, spending, spending, spending. all your life in greater and greater debt and never paying God back a penny. A huge debt accumulated. A list of crimes, not just one crime, but terrible crimes, a huge list of crimes. The resurrection of damnation. The whole idea of condemnation is horrible. Raised from the dead to be punished. Already having been punished in the soul. But then the soul returning to the body in which it sinned, and body and soul punished. How often Jesus speaks about damnation and warns us about the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. How often Jesus pleads with us to repent and to escape from that place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He says, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife, who had an opportunity to get out of Sodom, was told to flee for her life, along with Lot and his two daughters. Look not back. But she looked back because her heart was still in Sodom. And she became a pillar of salt. She ended up suffering with the people of Sodom. Remember Lot's wife. Flee from the wrath to come. Remember the message of Noah, 120 years preaching to the people of his day that God's going to destroy the world with a flood. But they wouldn't listen. And they didn't listen until Noah went into the ark and the flood. And the flood came and destroyed them all. And so Jesus warns us. And I would seek to warn you today as a messenger of Jesus. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which they that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. There's only the two places. Which place are you heading for?